Welcome to Deliverance Ministries. I'm Everett Cox. Good to have you with us this morning. We're continuing in our teaching and ministering with people, and mostly spirit-filled, born-again, yes, born-again, spirit-filled Christians that are bothered by demonic oppression. 95% of the people, probably higher than that, probably more like 99% of the people we are ministering to are born-again, spirit-filled Christians. Well, here in the studio today to give his studio is Steve Barksdale of Tulsa. Steve, good to have you with us.
Nice to be here, Everett.
Steve, you came over to the Oklahoma City meeting about a month ago, and I didn't have occasion to minister to you, but I saw a team ministering with you over there. In fact, was it a team? There must have been 8 or 10 people around you. You were sitting there in the chair, and I think they might have even developed another technique for casting out demons, and that is they smother them out. Because I never saw so many Bibles and hands on one person. That demon had to be running for sure. Well, would you describe, and you've been born again, spirit-filled for many years. How long ago was it that you received Jesus into your life?
Well, I received him as my personal Lord and Savior back when I was 12 years old, and I'm 25 now, and I believe that adds up to 13 years that I have been saved and have gone to church and was in the choir and went Wednesday and Sunday, and I did get out of church after I was 16 years old as far as going, but I still believed as a believer that he died on the cross for my sins.
Hallelujah. And would you describe the condition of your life before your deliverance?
Well, I was more or less into drugs and alcohol and marijuana and hard pills on the breakdown and cocaine, and actually a few times you're near shooting it up in my arm and stuff. And there was times when I wouldn't want to do it or try to keep away from it. It seemed like the more I tried to get away from it, the more it was around me and the more I'd do it. And I didn't realize at the time, until I started hearing about these deliverance ministries you have, that it might not be me. And I wondered why, if I didn't want to do it, why I kept on doing it. And when I would do it, then I'd hate myself for doing it after I was done with it. After my wallet was depleted and every penny I was living for the stuff, and yet I was trying to get away from the stuff.
Now, you got in the deliverance line when we had the altar call that evening, and someone started discerning with you.
Yes, Thorn started to discern what was inside me, and even at the time I was up there and having him discern him, I had seen a tape of yours on deliverances, and I believed it was real, and that's where it really started working inside me. I had I can't explain the feeling I had, that I was just shaking, afraid, and when I was in that line, I started having that same feeling again, shaking, and he told me, I told him I was scared, and he said, "Don't worry, it's not you." And I had this, I knew that they were in me then. I just knew it. And previous time I had seen this tape, I told a friend of mine that there was no way I'd let those things take over me and manifest on me, that I would be in total control of myself. So I sit down in that chair, and they say a little prayer, and then they tell me to shut my eyes. Well, the next thing I know I'm real tense in the chair, and kind of scared of it, and it seems like 10 minutes to me. There's 3 people with me, and what seemed like 10 minutes to me was an hour and a half before they had actually pulled these things out of me. And I can remember in my mind them praying that they would come out in Jesus' name, and inside I was saying the same thing, but it was like I was in the back seat of a car and something else was driving me. And to this day, it's hard to explain exactly how I felt, but I remember, so I pictured in my mind, because I had my eyes shut and I couldn't seem to open them, that a Bible coming down on me, and it hit me in the side, and it was like a hot iron. And I'd carried Bibles around all my life with me when I went to church, and it never had that effect on me before. So I guess they'd been in me, and now that I knew they were in me, they were reacting to it. And I remember somebody speaking in tongues in my right ear, and it was like it hurt, a real ringing in my ear. And I could feel it starting to come up in my chest, and I coughed a couple of times, and then like a lightning bolt, and I had my eyes shut, like a lightning bolt came out of the skies, and it just pulled it out just in 1 second. It was just, whoom, it was gone.
Praise God.
And I felt so good, and I came out of it, and there was 20 people standing in front of me, another 10 behind me, and here's this camera on me, and I must have made it, I don't know, I may have made a fool out of myself, I don't know, but I sat there and thought, I couldn't believe that Satan could actually get control of me like that, even without my willingness to let anything like that happen. And it just brought me back to think about, in all the drugs and stuff, and me trying to get away from how it actually maybe manifested on me and made me take those things, even though I hadn't wanted to do it. So it just shows me how real it is. And I was born again and saved back when I was 12. And I'm now 25, and it was just last month that I had gone through this deliverance. And since then, I've never had any desire to do the things. And even my friends around me that still do them, it just makes me sick to see them doing it because I know what's in them.
Yeah.
And I used to have a real bad profanity problem, and I was always getting called on it. But the more I tried to quit, the more it seemed to be there. And I can count on my hands since that time I was delivered, maybe 5 words I've said, and I know right away that I've done it, and I just ask the Lord to forgive me for it, and I'm back in peace in my mind that I know I'm right with God. And before, it seemed like I was blocked from prayer. Like, I wasn't getting above my head what I was saying, and God wasn't hearing my prayers. And I just couldn't seem to read the Bible without getting disinterested in it, or something getting in the way for me understanding it. And I've noticed since that deliverance time, it's like I have that connection in my heart and that connection with God through Jesus that now I can, you know, I feel so good, and I know He's hearing my prayers, and they've been answered right and left in my life since then, whereas before they never had been.
We hear this report all the time, Brother Steve, where after a deliverance, how their ministries open up and they move ahead unburdened and not harassed. And they just keep going ahead and learning, reading the Word, and typically their own ministry develops, so the direction of it, and they get on into it and move right along on the program that God had for them all the time, unburdened finally by the darkness of the world. Do you remember some of the other spirits that were cast out of you, Steve?
Well, I had a spirit of self-condemnation that Thorne said was real heavy on me, and a spirit of self-hate, and a spirit of poverty. And at the time that I was there, I was in the middle of selling 24 karat gold and had gold all over me. And yet, he discerned that spirit of poverty. And I knew that I was in poverty because it seemed like every penny I got was somehow taken from me. And God says that we're turned over to the tormentors. We're not in the total will of what he is. And that is following Jesus Christ and not only doing what he said to do, but living it.
There was a spirit of death as well. You might share that one with us, Steve.
Okay, he discerned a spirit of death in me, and to my knowledge, I had never thought about taking my life. And I didn't know what it meant, but that night at the deliverance meeting, that is basically what they pulled out of me was the spirit of death. And that was so hung on to me for so much, they had Bibles all over me, like I said, the smother technique. And I came to realize that there was a lot of times in my life that there was near misses with death. For instance, I had a sports car once, and I used to travel on a real curvy road, and I knew the road, so I'd be traveling 70, 80 miles an hour on it and squealing around those corners, and I pulled up to a stop sign when I hit town, and my tire fell off. And the suspension bar broke, you know. So if 2 minutes before, I could have been dead. And my heart's pounding. There's been other incidences of near misses on motorcycle wrecks where I was up above a car doing 70 miles an hour when I ran into it. And for some reason, I came back down on the bike, and the guy pulled over behind me and told me he couldn't believe that I'd, you know, live through it. And for some reason, I think my parents being Christian as they are, through intercessory prayer, that I wasn't dead. But yet this spirit of death was trying to take my life, and it never succeeded, praise God for it.
Amen. We know the devil comes to kill and destroy and steal, and spirits of death are quite common, but the good news is that Jesus came that we'd have life and have it more abundantly. And I believe I'll choose the life instead of the death. How about you, brother?
Amen. Amen.
Well, we have the life to those of us in Christ Jesus, and particularly those that are learning about deliverance and how to cast those spirits out and away from us that have been bothering us and harassing us in many cases for many years. Well, thank you, Brother Steve Barksdale, for being on the program today with us. I'm Everett Cox with Deliverance Ministries. We're coming to you today with more good news. And the good news is that Jesus is still setting the captives free. We're continuing to teach and minister in this area that is typically avoided. But praise God, we've learned that it's an integral part of the gospel, and it's a part of the gospel that is really exciting and fulfilling because it's wonderful to see the smiling faces that leave after a deliverance. Well, in the studio today with me is a good friend of mine, Brother Paul Cunningham. And Paul, a young fellow of age 24, he had a deliverance here recently, and he's a very credible young man. He has a degree in pharmacy and now is in the seminary at Phillips University. Paul, sure good to have you with us today.
Well, it's good to be here, Everett.
Paul, you might give us a little history on what happened to you and the deliverance that you received. Now, you received the baptism of the Holy Spirit back in November of 83, is that right?
That's correct.
How'd you happen to get the Holy Ghost?
Well, my brother-in-law one night told me he wanted to take me to this evangelist to get hands laid on me because they knew that something was wrong with me. And at the time, I had been messing around with alcohol and drugs quite a bit and didn't really think I was doing, you know, much of anything wrong. I was being deceived, like Satan can deceive us all so very easily with that.
Mm-hmm.
And when I had hands laid on me and he prayed for me, he started prophesying some things that were going on in my life. And he said, "In Jesus' name, set this boy free." And when that happened, I felt a bunch of stuff leave me, and later to find out that I was delivered from a demonic oppression. And the best way I could explain it at the time was I just felt free and felt like a load was off me. And at that time that I had received the Holy Spirit also, and it wasn't until later when I found out in the Word that I could speak in tongues that I actually did receive the baptism.
That's probably happened to a lot of people out there, and certainly as the Word says in Luke 11, 9-13, that if you'll ask and you'll seek and you'll knock at the door, that Jesus is ready and that you will receive the baptism or the Holy Spirit by asking. And so I think probably a lot of people have received the Holy Spirit. They just haven't opened their mouth yet to speak in tongues.
Amen.
As the good news is that with the baptism, you get to speak in tongues. And praise God, that's when I started speaking in tongues and learned about the scriptures on it and that the edification that comes with that and that I could pray to God a prayer that needs to be prayed, that was most uplifting. And certainly my whole Christian walk changed tremendously at that point. Well, you had your first deliverance right at that point. But what happened about a year later? You seemed to slip back. Is that right?
Well, no. Actually, it was a year later when I received my total deliverance. But when I received that deliverance in November of 83, I also was saved and accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior that evening. And for 3 weeks, I felt very free and very good. And I was off the alcohol and drugs. And I thought all that was over. Well, I didn't get back in the Word, and I didn't pray, and I didn't meditate on the Word and ask Jesus to help me every day to overcome those things. And about 3 weeks later, Satan slipped back in, and I started on the alcohol and drugs again and ended up really almost killing myself. And my family interceded for me and prayed for me, and finally I was admitted to a chemical dependency treatment center. And that did help a lot, and those things are very good, but people do need to be set free of those things because they will lie dormant.
And it seems that many of those type institutions, while they do work, they teach willpower primarily, do they not, to just be your own overcomer?
Well, they do talk about having a dependence on God and on AA, but the main point that they do leave out is having dependence on Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is the only one that can set you totally free. Those programs are wonderful, and you can stay off the alcohol and drugs, but you are dependent on those programs. And when you become dependent on Jesus Christ, you no longer have those cravings.
And they teach you to keep saying, if I remember correctly, that I am an alcoholic.
That's correct.
The good news is, brothers and sisters, that when you get delivered of the spirit of alcohol and the spirit of cravings, that you no longer have the desire. You don't have to worry about your willpower overcoming it. The Spirit is gone. Well, tell us what happened then when you had a deliverance this last September, and I recall you came to the Deliverance Ministries meeting in September there at the Holiday Inn Northwest, and you saw some deliverances take place, and then you got in the line.
Amen. God had been dealing with me about deliverance, and I knew nothing about it. I was in seminary at the time, and I had been called into the ministry, and I didn't know much about demons. I really didn't still know if they were really real, and I got involved in deliverance that night, and after that, the Holy Spirit told me that, you know, that He wanted to set me completely free also, and I believe I had about 20 cast out of me then.
Yes, in that deliverance, I happen to minister with you myself, and I never know which ones are going to manifest and talk back. It's probably just 1 out of 10 cases where that happens. But, Paul, you happen to be a 1 out of the 10. Is that right?
That's right.
What did it feel like with those things talking back through you?
Well, I went into the deliverance wanting to be set totally free, and I knew that my spirit was Jesus Christ, and I had nothing to fear. So I kind of took a back seat and said, well, whatever's going to come, I'll just let it come. And sure enough, when those things were addressed, it was kind of like I was in the back seat, and they started to manifest. And one particular one I remember, it was almost comical thinking back on it, was the spirit of violence. And I'd always had a bad, over-compelling temper. I'd get mad and hit doors and kick things and hurt myself, and that's very irrational, and that's from a spirit. And while you were asking what that thing did, it says, well, I'll tell you, he said, in another voice, not mine, and he said, I'll tell you, he goes, you touch me and I'll kick your rear end.
Yeah, we all cracked up at that one. You know, it's a lot of fun doing these deliverances, actually. I mean, we have a lot of jest in seeing those things sometimes. And this was one of those cases. I remember Cliff Patillo, who was helping us in the deliverance, he got to laughing so hard he left the room. And your wife was cracked up. We were all laughing. I couldn't hardly keep a straight face either. And yet the demon that was on your face and that was talking through you was as serious as could be. But you could hear it. As I recall, you were even laughing at the thing from where you were, like in the back seat. Is that right?
Hey, man, I thought I was laughing at it, too, and I thought it was real funny. And it wasn't until my wife and you all told me later that, you know, my face was looking all scrunched up and kind of contorted. So, you know, I just, like I say, I took a back seat, and I knew that I was Jesus Christ's property, and I got set free of all those things. And praise God, now I can go out there and help set the captives free in Jesus' name also.
What were some of the other spirits that we cast out? I believe suicide was one of them.
Suicide and spirits of cravings and addictions, which, like I say, those alcohol and drug programs are very wonderful, but those spirits seem to lie dormant. And also, from being in those programs, I know that a lot of people are okay for 4 or 5 years, and all of a sudden they go off and they start drinking and having problems for literally no reason at all, and that is a demonic activity that they cannot overcome it, even after 4 or 5 years, and it comes back on them that quick.
Mm-hmm. And that spirit of suicide, Paul, those are so common out there. It seems like we run into them in about, I don't know, maybe 60% of the cases. And we've seen so many people commit suicide, even down at OU, speaking of young people, as you are one of them. There was something, was it like 14 suicides last year on the OU campus last winter? I haven't heard what's going on this year, but it really tears me apart to hear those kind of situations, because I know that we could have ministered to them. I know who's causing those things. And just like in your case, I'm sure the devil had you pretty high on the hit list. You were already in the seminary, and you were apt to lose. He wanted you out of the way, so I think he was sensing your potential, because now Paul and his wife and some of their friends are right on the front lines leading a team, a deliverance team, and they'll be leading one in our next meeting February the 8th at the Holiday Inn Northwest. It's great excitement and a lot of fulfillment it comes in leading a team, right, Paul?
Amen. Praise God. It's wonderful to see the captives set free, and if any of you out there need to be set free, just come and Jesus will do it. Amen.
All you got to do is want to be set free. Well, I'm Everett Cox with Deliverance Ministries. Welcome to Deliverance Ministries. I'm Everett Cox. We're continuing with more testimonies on how Jesus is setting the captives free, and yes, setting the spirit-filled captives free. I know that sounds strange to some, because it's been said that people that are spirit-filled, born-again spirit-filled, cannot be bothered. But time after time in the field ministering to people, we find that just isn't so, that people can be bothered. Not possessed, will agree with that, and the Holy Spirit in there, but they can sure be bothered. And those things seem to typically hang out right in your belly. And as we minister, and people feel them coming out of their belly all the time, time after time. Well, I'm not a real smart guy, but after I see dozens and dozens and finally hundreds of cases like that, I can't help but conclude it's probably happening, okay? Well, here in the studio today is Rusty Smith from Tulsa. Rusty, good to have you with us.
Good to be here.
Rusty, you were born again and Spirit-filled how long ago?
Well, one of my first initial times when I was filled with the Holy Ghost with evidence of speaking in tongues were when I was 16 years old. However, the fruits of the Spirit were always missing. I continued to live with the works of the flesh. And when we open the works of the, you know, when we live in the works of the flesh, we open ourselves up to the spirits that come to dwell in our flesh. Regardless, rather we're tongue-talking, Spirit-filled, or what have you, flesh is flesh. And so we're always constantly having to police our flesh. You know, the Christians say, well, we can't be bothered. Well, there's laws that govern every city for the police departments. And if the city says, okay, this law is for everybody, but we're not going to send the police on the south side, then crime is going to flourish on the south side. And this is the same with us if we're not policing ourselves. How do we police ourselves? Is we be slow to speak and quick to hear what we're saying, examining our fruits for the fruits of the Spirit always.
Rusty, what was happening in your life before your deliverance? Could you share that with us?
Sure. My life centered around drugs. At the age of 12, I started smoking marijuana. By 14, I was doing LSD. And after I got to the age of 17, I was dealing cocaine quite heavily. I lived, walked, talked, everything was drug. And it was my biggest hindrance. I would go to church doing drugs. I would, you know, I would sit there in the service and get up and go out and eat a Quaalude and come back in. And I mean, this is how I existed in church. And it will surprise everybody how blind we really are to what goes on. But, you know, it was an inner gnawing at me that I could never get out. I mean, I would actually get down and hang on to the carpet and almost knot with my teeth trying to keep from going out and doing this stuff. But it always won out until I put the force of Jesus directly to that problem, and then it moved.
Mm. Well, praise God. And that was in a deliverance then, is that correct?
Yeah, it is. I went through deliverance one time with a very well-known evangelist, and then I ran into your ministry. And I found that there were several things. There are snakes underneath the leaves in the grass just kind of hiding, and Brother Thorne Stallings discerned them, mm-hmm. and we got rid of them. You know, I had exhausted every hope, every hope. I had gone through hospital after hospital. I'd been in psychiatric units for 9 months, and one of my big problems was a fear of failure. Well, you know, it took a psychiatrist 9 months to make that diagnosis. It took the Holy Ghost through Thorn 5 seconds.
That's the gift of discernment operation. Amen. And boy, is it a time saver. Well, praise God. What happened then after your deliverance?
Well, it's like any person with a new gift, you want to get out there and get into it. So that's what we started doing. Like the next day, I got my hands on some people who needed it, and they got their hands on other people, and we just got a whole troop out here doing deliverances now. And the thing about it is all the qualifications you need is to be a believer.
Amen. You certainly don't have to be a pastor, a priest, a theologian. You do not have to have studied the Word and devoured it to the point of understanding it to a tremendous degree. There just seems to be only one thing. You've got, well, of course, be born again, but then you just need to know who you are in Jesus. And that at Calvary, we got it all. Okay. We got the power and authority over all those devils at Calvary, and then all we got to do is use it. And we've seen teenagers, young people, children even, just obviously they don't know the Bible that much, but they know who they are in Jesus. Well, I wish some of these high-polluting preachers here and there could get hold of who they are in Jesus. What do you think about that, Rusty?
Well, I think they need to. Unfortunately, they're always afraid that they have too much to lose. Yeah. And so that's where we have to look to the lay people and the businessmen who are not controlled by a donation-type body, yeah. because the preachers say, well, we'll offend too many people. And that's because a lot of the people sitting out there have devil problems.
Yeah.
And, you know, when a preacher would stand up and say that, he would have probably 80% of his church come against him for that. And they'd come against him because they would be listening to the creatures that dwell in our flesh sometimes if we're not real careful.
Well, that's one thing about deliverance ministries. We don't have a church. We don't have a congregation. We just are doing it. We're just reading it and doing it. And praise God, we're seeing smiling faces walk away. And that only, not only does that person feel good, but we feel good having had a part in it. Amen?
Amen.
Well, you've even formed a ministry over in Tulsa now. Tell us about that, Rusty.
Well, the name of my ministry is Touch Point America, which is exactly that. We want to be people's touch point so that we can turn them to God and to Jesus. And, you know, the ministry started off as a get back at the devil thing for all the drug things he put on me. And the Lord really dealt with me that it had nothing to do with getting back at Satan, that I needed to do it out of love for the people. So that began to grow. And as that began to grow, I found that, you know, the drug people who would come in, well, they'd have a spirit of witchcraft on them, or they would have another spirit on them. So you just couldn't say, well, let's just get rid of the drug cravings. You had to go through the whole thing. And, you know, people don't realize that that is a self-destruct power. You know, if they're still out in the world without Jesus, they are cursed by Satan. And they think, well, I've got some power to tell the future, but it's a self-destruct power. The people are already cursed to begin with if they're not in the Word by the devil.
Amen.
So the people who think they're out there cursing these people are doing nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So the only true authority to get into is the believer. So we applied that to the drug and alcohol and deliverance as part of a program. You can have nothing but 100% success. Right.
Hallelujah. Well, if any of you listening out there have friends or relatives that have a problem in drugs and alcohol, they ought to get hold of Touchpoint America in Tulsa. What's your phone number and address over there, Rusty?
The phone number is 494-9733, and the address is P.O. Box 700268, zip code 74105.
Why don't you give that phone number one more time in Tulsa? Code 918.
Yeah, that's 494-9733.
Well, I know you're seeing exciting results, as we constantly do. We've had others on the program here recently that were set free in deliverance. And quite frankly, we can't handle all the calls that are coming in. Our teams are developing. We're getting more and more help all the time. But, Rusty, you'd be available over there in Tulsa, and there may be some listeners have some friends and relatives in Tulsa. So they could contact you, and you minister in the full circle of it all. Amen? I mean, and from start to finish, according to the Word. And that, of course, is what really sets us free. We know Jesus told us that if you'll continue in my Word, ye shall be my disciples, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And that's what we're slowly learning. We haven't been all that fast, I guess. I mean, it's only been 2,000 years, right?
Right.
But we are learning little by little, and praise God, we're learning that it really works. The Word sets them free. The Word really works. Well, Rusty, do you, have you been able to minister to people in the deliverance meetings as a team member? Have you seen some exciting results there?
Oh, yeah. The exciting results are freedom. You know, despite rather we have a major manifestation or a demon eruption or just soft quietness, it doesn't matter as long as the result is freedom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and freedom's what it is. You know, Satan thinks that he can put on a show, and, you know, Columbia Pictures does a much better job than he does anymore. You know, they're really into it. So he's kind of lacking in some areas, you know. So we get into a lot of deliverances. We've had a lot of house experiences starting to show up, and that type of thing is starting to surface. And it's really, you know, Satan's really just laying his cards out here, and believers can see the signs. And it's very simple just to come against that stuff. But it's just, he's really on a move now, and it's time for all the believers to get up and start talking about how they're beating the devil and not what the devil's doing them.
Amen. I agree with that, brother. And we certainly, Deliverance Ministries has certainly appreciated your help that you've given us in Tulsa in so many ways, and also in following up with people that have been ministered to in the Tulsa meetings. Good to have you with us, Rusty Smith. I'm Everett Cox with Deliverance Ministries. Yes, Jesus is a deliverer. And Jesus is still setting the captives free. Hello, I'm Everett Cox with Deliverance Ministries. Well, more exciting good news, and of course, as we know, the whole Bible is full of good news. And the good news is that Jesus does set the people free. You know, a lot of things have gone on in our lives we've never known, never recognized, really, that it might be spiritual. Well, we're learning. And just as Jesus identified and directly spoke to various types of spirits by their negative functions and cast them out, well, we're finding even we can do that. For it is written in John 14:12 that we are to do the same works of Jesus. Well, here on the phone today with me, long distance, down in Dallas, is Carl Sturberg. Carl, good to have you on the program.
Appreciate you calling.
Carl, if you can speak up in the phone pretty loudly there, I want to get a little history, and you can kind of tell your story here. When were you born again? How long ago was that?
Well, basically, it was back in when I was in high school. I seen a James Robinson crusade come down through Lawton, Oklahoma. I guess I was 15 or 16 years old.
And oh, way back then.
It was a long time ago, yeah. And it was the same kind of whole story. There was basically no follow-up. You know, I went to a big old football stadium, and presence of the Lord just came upon me, and it was great, you know. And then I went home, and then I just basically left out there to kind of see after myself, and there wasn't any good follow-up still, and I just kind of took it from there, and I didn't really do too well with it.
Well, you were prompted here back in November to call an old friend of yours that's a pastor, actually in Anadarko, and why don't you tell the listeners what prompted you to call and what was going on in your life?
Well, basically I was just kind of going down a dead-end street, got to dabbling in the drugs again. I'd gotten out of the drug scene, just back in 88, and I stayed out of it, you know, and basically just did it on my own. I didn't really ask God for any help to do it. I just knew it was kind of like the right thing to do, but I knew that deep inside I needed some spiritual help and some guidance from God and the strength of the Lord Jesus Christ to maintain that deliverance from those drugs, and it just didn't happen. I just didn't have it there to use. And Ted Mercer, a friend of mine that I went to high school with, I just, for some reason, he married me and my wife. My wife was helping me, trying to deal with this the best she could. And she knew that I needed to talk to somebody that was a servant of the Lord and basically not talk to, you know, some of my old friends that still drink and do drugs and can kind of pat you on the back and say everything's going to be all right.
And did you kind of suspicion, Carl, that you might be having some spiritual problems? That is, something seemed to be driving you in all this?
Well, yes, I did, because I'd gone through this before in earlier years of life, and I never felt, I always kind of seemed to overcome it, and usually all the time it was Jesus that helped me. Well, it was basically all the time that Jesus helped me overcome it, but this time there seemed like to be a strong driving force, and it was just like I couldn't understand it. It was so powerful. And because usually I could, you know, just common sense, basic common sense would tell me, no, this is wrong. But even that wasn't working, and it just seemed like it was just pushing me deeper and deeper into it.
And you, it seemed like you were taking more and more drugs all the time, weren't you?
Yeah, basically, and it just started up in a short period of time, and just like, you know, I'd been pretty much clean for, well, since 88, and then all of a sudden in like 92. Bam, boy, just kind of, started dabbling a little bit, and then last year in 93, just since October, boy, I just went head over heels and fell right into it, and I just couldn't believe how overpowering it was. It just really got a stronghold on me.
Sounded like a collision course.
Yeah, that's pretty much was it.
Well, anyway, you got hold of your good friend and pastor in Anadarko, Brother Ted Mercer, and you all wound up coming up to Oklahoma City to be ministered to. And what happened when we got into the ministry?
Oh, it was the smartest move that I ever made. I'll tell you what, it's trying to get out of Dallas. I went up to see Ted, and he prayed for me some, and he mentioned about your ministry up there in the city, and so I had to come back to Dallas to go to work for that week, and that was the hardest week I think I'd ever been through. Because I knew I was going back up there on that following Monday, and it took everything I had to get out of Dallas. But the Lord sent me through and got me up there, and well, we had a wonderful time. I tell you, I went up there to get free, and that's exactly what happened. I left out of there smiling.
Well, what happened when we started addressing suspect spirits, one of which was the drugs and even a death spirit? And as I recall, it even talked through you.
Yeah, they sure did manifest themselves pretty quick. I wasn't fully aware of really what was going on, but I do remember that there was a being or there was something within me that was not me, you know. And I can remember that. I guess my recollection of the whole thing was the last spirit or demon or whatever you want to call this that was cast out, the music spirit, was the most present spirit. Seemed like he was having the most control or whatever.
The demon of witchcraft, yes, and it even said, I asked it how it came in, and it said through your guitar music.
Yeah.
Are you a musician or
yes, how? Yes, I am, and I'm currently trying to get into a church band now and start playing music for the Lord.
Had you played in some of the witchcraft type music or heavy metal or something?
Well, you know, I'm not really. I've just been basically a blues player. I've played some country music, but you know, putting a brand on that music as far as demonic music and heavy metal, that doesn't have nothing really to do with it, because it's all worshiping Satan one way or the other, you know.
Well, that's what the demon said. It came in through your guitar music. I thought that was interesting. You know, as it turned out too, one of the local television stations shot some footage of your ministry and showed it here locally, and gave people, at least told them and showed them that there can be demons bothering us in these areas, and but the good news is we've got an answer, and that answer is the power in the name of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Because they came out, and as they came out and coughed out and all that, you got relief, didn't you?
Oh, boy, yes, it was great. It was sure great. I didn't have any idea that it was going to be as, I don't know, involved as it was, you know. It was overwhelming. Basically what happened, and I believe this was all my heart, what the Bible talks about, you know, when you clean up the house and those little demons come back, and if it's not clean, you know, they're going to bring a bunch of his buddies along with him. And that's exactly what happened to me, because ever since back in when I was 15 years old and first got saved listening to James Robinson, and then you know, they were probably all got cast out then, and then they came back and the house was swept clean and they brought all their buddies. So however many times that happened, times however many, I had a bunch of them stored up.
And they've even tried to come back some since they were cast out, you were telling me earlier.
Oh yeah, they rear their ugly head, but I got the power of Jesus now.
But you've learned who you are now in Jesus and how to shoot your gun. Amen.
Amen. That's
well, the proof of the pudding is, does this work? Are you free from drugs now?
Oh yes, yeah. I got
it's been a couple of months now, so you've had a good run on it.
Yes, sir. Yes, I got total confidence that, you know, it's just not in me. It's just, I don't have a desire. All I have a desire is to praise the Lord and thank Him for setting me free for that every day.
Praise God. Have there been other things in your life that have changed since you were ministered to?
Oh, yes. The doors are open in all kinds of ways as far as for me going to church and my job. I'm in the inventory business, and it's a pretty demanding job, very time-possessing job every day of the week. Weekends are the most time we do most of our inventories, but I'm getting it worked out. The Lord's provided me a way to start going to church, and
well, Carl, some people would say these are just human weaknesses, things like drugs and anger and violence and all, but you'd have to say probably from what you're saying here that they really were demons.
Oh, there's no doubt in my mind, because there was this thing that was happening that I could not control. And
you felt them come out and all that. Of course, we have it on video.
Yeah, I didn't get to see any of that, but I bet that is pretty interesting. See, I used to live up in Oklahoma City back in the early 80s until about 83 or 4, and it would be interesting to see that. And a bunch of my old barroom buddies I used to play music with, if any of them were watching TV, that they might have recognized me. It had been something for them to see, because they know how I used to be.
Well, I'll try to get you a copy of that, Brother Carl, so you can see it. Well, thank you for being on the radio program here and sharing, and this will encourage others to seek ministry in this area of the gospel. The power is in the name of Jesus. It's actually good news to find out we may have spirits bothering us like this, because, praise God, we've got the answer.
Amen.
Brother Carl Sturber in Dallas, Texas, thank you for being on the telephone with me here and sharing how Jesus set you free.
Well, I appreciate that. And let me just say one thing to all the listeners. Go on with God. Just go on with God.
Hallelujah. I'm Everett Cox with Deliverance Ministries.